Well, if Kevin were running for election, he would certainly get a lot of votes today. I mean, everybody I see coming out has a muffin in their hand. And I know the kids would elect him. I mean, they live out there. That's right. Oh, praise the Lord. Lois has brought a volume of books that belong to Barry. If you would be interested in those, Brother Jay probably can read them quickly and give them to you. but anyway, if they're out in the hallway there, I believe. So please feel free to look through it and take them and read them and pass them on if you don't want to keep it. Lord, we are so thankful that we can gather in your name. We're thankful, Lord, that you refuse to give up on us. Lord, you are our Redeemer. And Lord, you have opened your word to us, and Lord, that you have our help in time of trouble. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time, and Lord, open our ears and eyes that we may hear and see what you are saying in your word. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I've been studying, the main topic has really been the having life and life abundantly, as the Lord declared why he came in John 10:10. And as I have been reading this, and I'm not exactly sure what brought me to this, but I thought of John chapter 6, and I think it was something happened the other day, or not too long ago, with regard to the way the chapter closes, which is the Lord asking the disciples who he is, and do they believe who he is. But in between, and at the beginning of the chapter, I'm trusting that you all will remember and be familiar with the feeding of the 5,000. That's how the chapter opens. We've had a number of messages on that, not too distant past. Both about the distribution of the bread, the miracle, the disciples going out on the sea, and the storm coming against them, and the Lord coming to them in the midst of the sea. And I'm pressing on from there. And as Brother Jeff said, there's some pretty deep water here. So I'm going to try to stay as close to the surface as I can. But the Lord is leading. We need the Lord to lead. as you're aware, the Lord provided this miracle feeding for those who were following him, who had come a long way and were in need of food. And he realized, and this is important to what I'm going to say, when therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, this is verse 14, when therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, that is the feeding of the 5,000, they said, "This is, of a truth, the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force and to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. And that sets the stage for what I believe the Lord shares in the rest of the intervening verses of this chapter. There were those seeking the Lord Jesus. They wanted to see, they wanted to know. and yet they were acting as of flesh, in the flesh. The Lord was not coming to be made king. He was coming to die. And his purpose was to fulfill the will of God, not to fulfill the desires of men. The people were looking for Messiah. They were looking for the king, the conqueror, to come. The one whom I read about earlier in Revelation, coming on a white horse to set everything right. They were expecting a conqueror. They were expecting David coming again to rule and to reign, to drive out the Romans and to establish the kingdom of God in Israel. Well, that's a very... I'm not going to go there. That's confusing. I want to go on because right after that, Jesus separates himself and he sends the disciples and they cross the sea and Jesus comes to them on the sea and they go to the other side. I want to take it up there in verse 22. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except the one that Jesus had not entered with the disciples into the, and that Jesus had not entered into the, with his disciples into the boat, but the disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." I'm going to pause, stop there for a moment. The eyes of these that were following Jesus were looking through their experience, looking through their life, looking through their desires of their fleshly hearts. They were not seeing spiritually. There's so much here. The point that I want you to come away with is we have been given spiritual eyes to see things not as the eyes of flesh see, but the eyes of the Spirit, the eyes of the Lord. And I want to, I'll put a plug in here. I think Brother Jay may have already advertised it, but Brother Dana spoke at the conference and the family conference in Richmond, now Farmville. And the first message that he gave, I haven't listened to the other ones. I hope they're as good as the first one. The message is just outstanding. It truly is. It's well worth listening to. I hope that you will listen to it. But he uses the expression there, faith eyes. Dana spoke that we need faith eyes. We need eyes of faith. We need to be able to see things as the Lord sees them. And so here we have the multitude has come to him. They've figured out that he's not there. What's happened? How did he get there? And they're kind of scratching their heads, trying to figure out what's going on. And Jesus answers them, and I've always thought this was kind of strange. Jesus says to them in verse 26, "Truly I say to you, you do not seek me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Well, I don't see any indication of that, that this was the attitude of their heart, that they expressed that in any way, certainly not here, and I don't think in any of the other accounts of this circumstance. They weren't coming hungry looking for bread. It doesn't seem. So what is it? What is it that the Lord sees here? His eyes, his spiritual eyes. What does he see? And I think this is important because we need to realize that the Lord is directing us. The Lord is walking with us. The Lord's Spirit is upon us so that we do not go forward with our own will. We do not go forward trying to make sure, you know, to prepare our own way. I believe what the Lord is saying to them here is, you've come seeking me, but you want to be taken care of. The Lord had miraculously fed 5,000 men. Now, you know, we can argue back and forth. Was it 5,000 people or was it 5,000 men? And then there were wives and children and so forth. Maybe it was 10,000. Maybe it was 15,000. It was a crowd. And the Lord miraculously fed them. Well, in the heart of man, what is it? One of our basic needs is bread, food. We get hungry. We need water more than we need food more quickly, but it doesn't take very long. Doesn't take very many hours in some cases or days in others for us to really get hungry. We need food to live. We need energy. We need to be provided for. And much of man's life is spent pursuing food, shelter, being taken care of. And God surely is going to do that. He is going to take care of us. But they were not seeking him because he was the Son of God. They were seeking him because they wanted to be taken care of. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food, verse 27, but the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him, the Father, even God, has set his seal. And he says this after he talks about that they've come seeking him to fill them, to take care of them physically. Again, it's that they want to make him king. Well, as king, he's going to provide for them. All right. He's saying that this is the food that perishes. I'm going to come back to that, and he comes back to that in a few moments in the next few verses. And they said to him, now imagine this. Think about this. Think about this spiritually. Well, think about this even at the level of earth. They said to him, therefore, what shall we do that we shall work the works of God? Well, that's a reasonable question. But, unfortunately, it's a fleshly reasonable question. They want to know, all right, what's the password? You know, what have I got to do? What, you know, how much do I have to earn? Do I have to sacrifice more? Do I have to, you know, attend temple more? Do I have to, you know, give more than in the offering? Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Now that is very simple, but it is very powerful. And I'm hoping that you will consider this with your faith eyes. What is it that he's saying? The work of God is to believe in him whom he has sent. It's not work harder, do more stuff. It's not stop doing this and start doing that. It's not be kind to your family or the brothers and sisters or whatever. It is to believe on him whom he has sent. He'd believe on Jesus. Verse 30. They said therefore to him. Now this is where this just strikes me as really silly. They said to him, "What then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Hello? What are they there for? Why did they come here? They came because they saw the sign, right? They saw it. They were on the other side. He had just fed 5,000 people. What work do you do that we should believe in you? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. That is true. He did give them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Lord, give us faith eyes. Help us to see. They said therefore to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." You know, hook me up, Lord. I want to be on your side. I want you to feed me every day. I'm ready for it. "Lord, evermore give us this bread to eat." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." This was hard for them to hear, and they didn't really hear it very clearly. But Jesus is telling them that the bread that you seek, the bread that you need, the bread of life is me. Come to me. And he'll explain this a little bit more. Another thing here, and we're going to come, Jesus comes back to this. He says these things several times, these very same points. He says over and over again. So it's important to hold on to them. Have your faith eyes open. I know you can't do it. The Lord has to give them to you. But trust, seek the Lord for eyes to see and eyes to hear and ears to hear what he's saying in truth. He says, "He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Men argue over this. Men, we struggle with this. We listen to this with fleshly ears. If you hear this, these words, "He who comes to me shall not hunger," that might say to you, and much doctrine is written around this, well, it implies at the level of earth that if you're hungry, you don't belong to Jesus. You haven't come to him. You're not coming to him. I'm talking physical hunger. "And he who believes in me shall never thirst." If we thirst, we must not believe in him. No. No, the point here is that all of our spiritual need, all of our hunger, if we come to him, he will feed us. He will provide for us. He is promising that he will do it. And he's not even saying believe first, that even if you don't believe, even if you have struggle, come to me. And you will not hunger. I will give you spiritual bread. Come to me. If you're struggling, if you don't understand, come to me and I will feed you. I will feed you with the word. I will feed you with the Holy Spirit speaking through your brothers and sisters. I will feed you. And he who believes believing in Jesus, well, let me go on. It comes back to believing in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. For all the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up in the last day. Jesus is promising very clearly that if we will, that the Father is drawing men to him, and of those, and they will come. We will come. We have come. Now, there's been a lot of theological argument and conflict and bloodshed over this. Is God saying that you don't have a chance if he's not going to draw you? Why do we bother? It's all figured out. Don't go there. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to draw you. You can't come on your own. You can't be talked into it. If you're talked into it, you can be talked out of it. He's saying, the Father will draw you, has drawn you to me. And he has given you to me, and I will lose none of you. And in the last day, I'll raise you up. What's he promising here? He's saying that we cannot, if the Father has drawn you, you cannot be lost. And in the meantime, he is going to prepare you and bring you, raise you up in the last day. He is saying, I'm going to do everything for you that you thought at the level of earth. You want me to take care of you? I'm going to do it. God has given you to me. He has drawn you to me. And if you are drawn to me, I will take you. I will take care of you. You will not be lost. You'll not be cast out. All right, so the grumbling begins. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down out of heaven. Well, we don't get so troubled about that. We get much more troubled about who's saved and who isn't saved, and are they saved forever, and how is all this going to happen, how will this all work out? It is all in his hands. He will lose nothing that is given to him. All right, they're saying, again, seeing with earthly eyes. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down out of heaven. This was a big deal to them. Obviously, manna was a sign for them. You know, they made them special. Is this not, and they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's very clear. The Father will draw. And I will raise him up on the last day. So he's committing himself again. He's promising again. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. We have come to understand that. But it is. But he's emphasizing here the believing in him. He who believes, and that is back in verse 29, the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. We are to believe. And that comes by faith. We have to see this with faith eyes. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which, in other words, it's not physical sustenance. You think it's a big deal because God gave, because it arrived every day without your doing anything. It wasn't any normal way that this happened. This had to be the hand of God doing this. But it wasn't about physical sustenance. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. That was the intent of the manna. It was to keep them so that they could enter into the promised land, that they could enter into Jesus. And it is the same with us. He is the bread that came down out of heaven. He is the one who keeps us, who is our keeper. He is the one to whom we go if we are hungry. When we hunger, when we struggle, when we have problems, we come to the Lord Jesus and he will satisfy the hunger that we have. He will provide for it. I am, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give him shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, this gives us, the Lord is giving us some insight here, I believe, as to what he is meaning by the bread. He's saying the bread that I will give you is my flesh. Again, I don't think he's saying, and please seek the Lord about this if this causes you to struggle. I don't think what he's saying is, you know, it's not the transubstantiation that the Catholics want to try to deal with this passage. The bread of the table does not become the physical flesh of the Lord Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying he is giving his flesh that we may live. And he is the bread. The bread is that he has given himself for us. His flesh was forfeit for us to live. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're caught in the earthly interpretation, trying to understand heavenly things, spiritual things, with the mind of flesh, with the mind that we got from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread that came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. He is speaking to the people here of miraculous things. He is speaking the gospel. He is speaking that which is of life, of spiritual life. That it's not physical bread. It's not the symbols of the table. It is Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. He's not saying this bread and this cup is if you do this, you're going to be fine. He's saying, remember who I am. Remember through the Holy Spirit. Let your heart be open. Let your eyes be open. Let your heart be softened. Turn it from a heart of stone to a spiritual heart. The Lord is, I believe the Lord is speaking to us as a gathering in many and sundry ways. He wants us to move forward in spiritual things. He wants us to see and to know and to speak and to believe that he is in us. He is moving through us. He is creating that fragrance within us that will draw men to him. He is causing us to know. He is causing us to worship together, to realize who he is, to see his glory, and to walk in his grace, and to give up trying to do it. We can't. And it's a struggle to give it up. The Lord must do it. You know, bread is a miracle. Not because he's worked hard, but because God has entered into him. He couldn't do any of that stuff that you testified to today. No way. No way. It is the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart, in his life, changing him from glory to glory, making, creating. We're abiding. He says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. That's where fruit comes from, right? Fruit comes from the vine and the branch abiding in the vine, he tells us later in John. John's gospel is a wonderful spiritual book. John saw things after many years of walking with the Lord physically and longer spiritually. And God has given him voice, given him the ability to write it down. So let's trust the Lord for the things that he is doing. Let's look to him, and if he has stirred up something in your mind and your heart, I pray that you will listen and pursue, and that we will know him more, and each of us will bring our part that the Lord is doing in us, that we are a testimony to Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you that your life is powerful among us. Your life will come forth. And Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to realize that you are the rock on which we stand. When we become confused, Lord, help us to have faith to believe that you are the rock. You are the one. You are the Holy One. You are able in all things. You will provide for our hunger. You will provide for our thirst. You have promised, and you will raise us up on the last day. Lord, give us faith, eyes to see. In your precious name I pray. Amen.